Seated. It's good to be in church today. Well, you can see from the board where our text is at. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with us to Psalm 88. If you will, Psalm 88. Seems that I have mentioned this the last couple of Sundays in a row, but I still intend to continue preaching on the home and family. In fact, I have some sermons already prepared that I'm sitting on. Fully intended to preach one of those this morning and preach from this psalm this afternoon. But in study and preparation for this sermon and this psalm, I continually felt compelled that maybe I should just preach from this psalm today. And so I sure hope the Lord will help us and use us to do so. I will not complete the psalm this morning. There's 18 verses in the psalm, not exactly sure how far we will get into the psalm. I want to talk about three or four different things concerning the psalm. I know it's a little bit lengthy. Some folks would consider it lengthy as far as reading that many verses for a text. But I would like to read the entirety of the psalm, and then we'll pray together. We'll mention some things about the heading of the psalm, and then some things that are unique to the psalm. And I think hopefully some things that will help us from as well. And so let's begin reading. We'll begin reading verse number 1. We'll read through the entirety of the psalm, then we'll pray together. The Bible says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I have counted with them that go down into the pit. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou shew me wonders? Wilt thou shew wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, thou castest, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible, and for the opportunity to read a portion of Scripture in our hearing today. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look into this psalm and use it, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Help it to although it's a very dark psalm, help it to encourage us. I pray that you would use the words of this passage to speak to our heart, challenge our lives, and help us, Lord, to be more like you, I pray. We love you and thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible that I use has different places where it sort of gives a title or a topic for different passages of Scripture. And for this particular psalm, it says at the very beginning, a trouble-filled soul. And I think that is very evident as we read the psalm. The heading of the psalm, it is a song or psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician, and I won't pronounce these names correctly, but it's some type of instrumentation, upon Mahalath Linoth. And then it's a masculine psalm, and it's of Hermon the Ezraite. Now, I'm not going to say a whole lot about all of that heading stuff. I will mention the fact that this is a psalm for the sons of Korah, as we read in the heading. And I mention that primarily because this is the last of the psalms that are for the sons of Korah. This is the last one in the book of Psalms. This psalm is among 54 other psalms that is addressed to the chief musician. And so this is a song or a psalm that is to be sung when the nation is joined together for national worship. The psalm is one of the 13 psalms that is titled a masculine psalm, meaning that it is a psalm of instruction. And so as we just read the psalm, it was clear to see that it was a prayer. It was a psalm from the heart of a man who is in deep despair. In fact, it is a psalm of a man who thinks or believes that he is at the very point of death. And yet we understand from the heading of the psalm that it is a psalm of instruction. Now, the word masculine means the wise or they that understand. So in spite of the darkness of this psalm, in spite of the desperation, or maybe I believe that there is obviously some depression and some discouragement from Heman the Ezraite, whoever that may be, that is the writer of the psalm. There's a lot of speculation. We see that that's who it is from the heading that is given in the Scripture. And there are two men in the Bible by that name, as best I can tell. Heman, one of those, according to the book of 1 Chronicles, was one of the singers that David had appointed. And so it's probably, or most likely, the writer of the psalm. But it is, whoever it is, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for you and I in numerous ways. And so we see that in the heading of the psalm. Now, I want to say another thing about this psalm. This psalm is like no other in the Bible. It is a psalm of sorrow. It is the psalm of sadness. It is without any doubt the darkest and the saddest of all the psalms that we have. Now, as we have for some time, over a period of probably 5 to 7 years now, as we had opportunity, we looked in the psalms and we're preaching through the psalms, we have noticed that the psalms oftentimes began with a prayer, as this one does, and then it will get into a phrase of sorrow, trouble, and sadness, and it will end on a triumphal note, or it will end with a song, or it will end with praises having overcome the situation that was at hand. This psalm is different in that it does not return to rejoicing. It does not return to a song. It does not return to praise. In fact, the very last word of the psalm is darkness. And so it is the only psalm in which a poured out heart crying to God does not seem to receive relief or consolation, and in spite of his continual and constant crying
to the Lord. Now, before you start drawing your own conclusions, I want you to understand that our God is a just God and a righteous God and a fair God and a God that does not make any mistakes at all whatsoever. And so, with that thought in mind, one writer said this: this is a psalm that would fall into the category of what you and I might refer to as strong meat, as the Apostle Paul said. It is intended for those who have grown in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. In other words, this psalm is extremely spiritual in nature, meaning that these things oftentimes are situations that take place in real life. We love a happy ending, but there are many endings that are not happy. We love when the storyline turns from disgrace to grace. We love when the narrative turns from calamity to rejoicing in the things of the Lord. But as you know from real life, and as I know from real life, that is not always the case. And this psalm seems to be one of those particular psalms. One of the many things we can learn from this psalm is that as far as life on this earth is concerned, there may very well be some situations and circumstances. I'm not trying to discourage you. I want you to see the faithfulness of God in spite of life, situations, and circumstances. But what we want to see from this psalm is that there are some situations and some circumstances, as heartbreaking as they are, that will never get better. That's about exactly how many amens I expected. Now, we are sad about that, and we mourn because of that, and sorrow fills our heart because of that. But friend, I want you to understand something. This world is not my home. This life here is not all there is to it. The trouble and the heartbreak and the sorrow here fails in comparison to what my Savior has prepared for those who know the Lord. And so the only way that this psalm could be any sadder, the only way that this psalm could be any darker, is for you to hear the words of this psalm and not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are going to have what the Bible refers to as sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, you have sorrow now, and you're going to have sorrow for all eternity being expelled from the presence of a holy God. And so, there we need to remember that. Now, in the midst of these things, and we must remember that the Lord does all things well. I've already mentioned that. He doesn't make any mistakes. And I think it does us a great deal of good to trust Him with our lot in life. Even though it may seem hopeless to you and I, the Lord has made you and I a firm promise, and we'll get to that verse sometime during the text, and that is that He will never leave us or forsake us. All of our acquaintances may. All of our friends may. But the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. Now, as we study this psalm, and as we look into this psalm, it will be very evident that the psalmist is facing what seems like imminent death. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3, Psalm 88, he says this: "For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave." I'm near death. Look at verse number 5. "Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they're cut off from thy hand." Look, he mentions it again. Look at verse number 10. "Wilt thou shew wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee?" Selah. Look at verse number 11. "Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction?" Look at verse number 15. I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer, look at this, thy terrors, I am distracted. So it seems that he is facing imminent death. Now here's what I don't want you to miss. Here's the warning. Here's the instruction. Here's the admonition. Here is the reason why this is called a maschil psalm. This is the reason that this is a psalm of instruction. It is because it is very clear from the wording of this psalm that whatever it is this psalm is facing physically, mentally, and spiritually, they are a direct result of the chastening hand of God. He is in this condition because we have no idea what his sin was. We have no idea what he did wrong to bring this upon him. But it is very clear from the wording of the psalm that all of this is upon him because of the hand of God. Now, I want to show you that from the verses. I made mention of it. I'll read it to you. We'll get into an outline here in just a moment. I want to show you this. This is the admission of the writer. This is the chastening hand of God is on his life. Look at verses 6 through 9. Thou, who's that personal pronoun for? He's speaking of the Lord. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Verse 7, thy wrath, speaking of the Lord, lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou, still speaking of the Lord, thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Now, we would think, well, that's just one pat. No, he continues. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Now, look at verse 16 through 18. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compass me about altogether. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance in darkness. So we see the depravity of his situation. We see the sadness of his situation. We see that in his point of view, he is nearing or at the end of life. And repeatedly throughout the psalm, he allows you and I to see that it is the hand of the Lord upon his life that is causing this discomfort and this problem. Now, what does he do? Well, he prays. We see in verse number 1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried unto thee night and day. Verse number 2, let my prayer come before thee. Look at verse number 9. We see his prayer. My eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. He said, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. So we see that there are three prevailing themes in this psalm. There is prayer, there is affliction, and there is the chastening hand of the Lord that has brought about that affliction. Just let me get into the sermon. Here's our first point. We see, first of all, the prayer of the psalmist. I just read the verses for that. Verse number 1, O Lord of my salvation, I've cried day and night before thee. Verse number 2, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear to my cry. Verse number 9 says, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I've stretched out my hands unto thee. Verse 13 says, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer prevent me. Now, this word prevent here in the Bible, it means to go before. I understand that the modern definition for the word prevent means to hinder or to stop or to slow, to prevent something. But here in the Bible, the word prevent means go before. And so the psalmist is saying, I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer go before thee. Shall my prayer prevent thee? He wants his prayer to come before God. Now, it seems, now I hope you didn't miss this. There's only one bright spot, seemingly, in the entirety of this psalm, and the psalmist opens with it, and what a blessing that is. You know what he says? O Lord God of my salvation. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. It doesn't matter how gloomy it gets. It doesn't matter if all hope is gone. There is one thing that we can cling to above all else, and that is that the Lord God is our salvation. The writer didn't have anything good to say. He didn't have anything to brag about. He didn't have anything to rejoice in. But when he opened the psalm, he made a statement that allowed all of us to see where his heart is at and where his mind is at and where his thoughts is at. And that is that if all else falls apart and if all else goes to pieces, I still have a God that is the God of my salvation. Man, that's something we can shout about. Amen. So the only bright spot is that the Lord God is His salvation. You know what He's doing throughout this psalm? In the midst of His trouble, in the midst of His despair, and all that's going on, I believe, this is just my opinion, this is Tillmology, as He's pinning down these words that are coming forth from a troubled soul, and God has given Him this psalm as He's writing it, I believe He's clinging to one thing, and that is the first words of this psalm, Oh, Lord God of my salvation. I am in a pit. Oh, Lord God of my salvation. I am in darkness. Oh, Lord God of my salvation. My soul is full of trouble. Oh, Lord God of my salvation. Can I encourage you, as you go through life and troubles become more, and sorrows become more, and problems become more and more, there is one thing that we can faithfully cling to, and that is that the Lord God is my salvation. Now, I want you to notice the procedure of his prayer. It was personal. I've already hammered this thought quite a bit, but he is the God of, don't miss it, my salvation. So here's the question that begs to be asked. Is He the God of your salvation? And I don't know that that's the case with anyone here at all whatsoever. But I hope you're not holding on to some kind of religion. I hope you're not placing your faith in some repeat after me man-led prayer. I hope that you're not holding on to a water baptism or a church membership. I hope that when things turn dark and sadness fills your heart and near death begins to creep up into your knowledge and your understanding, that you have something to hold on to besides some kind of religious affiliation or some kind of religious activity, you can truly say, as the psalmist did, He is the God of my salvation. Not just my dad's salvation. Thank God my dad was saved. Not just my mom's salvation. I'm glad my mom is saved. But it's my salvation. Praise God for the day it became personal in my life. In fact, the great prophet of old, the prophet Isaiah, made this statement in Isaiah 12:2. He said, Behold, God is my salvation. Now, he added something to that in his statement in Isaiah 12:2 that I really like. And I think it really goes along with this psalm. And I don't know if the psalmist knows anything about what the prophet Isaiah, I don't know anything about that, but I know this. The prophet Isaiah said in that great verse, if you'd like to look at it, Isaiah 12:2, he said, Behold, God is my salvation. And because of that, now you think about the life of this psalmist. The prophet said this. He said, I will trust and not be afraid. Death is imminent. Death is near. I am in the pit. I'm in the darkest place that I've ever been in my life. My friends are gone. My lovers are gone. The Bible says in the final verse, My acquaintances have gone. I'm all by myself. I have no one else here with me. But I can tell you this, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, look, He even said in this psalm, I have no strength. I have no strength at all. But the Bible says in this prophet, this psalm, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He has no song in the psalm, but the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and He is become my salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm about to get happy. It is personal. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my salvation. He is my sole reason for rejoicing and having hope in this life. Now, it was personal. Not only was it personal, it was passionate. Notice the wording here in these verses. Look at verse number 1. O Lord God of my salvation, look at this, I have cried. Look at the end of verse number 2. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, middle of the verse. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. Look at verse 13, the first of the verse. But unto thee have I cried. So the psalmist repeated throughout the psalm, I have cried unto the Lord. I have cried unto the Lord. I have called upon the Lord. I have cried unto the Lord. Not just one time. Not just two times. Not just three times. But over and over and over again, we see that he is passionate. It is evident that the psalmist has continually called on the Lord in prayer regarding his situation. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't grow weary of hearing our cry? So, it was a personal cry. It was a passionate cry. It was also a prolonged cry. Notice in verse number 1, I have cried day and night before thee. This wasn't a one time a day when you sat down to a meal and you thank the Lord for your food, or now lay me down to sleep prayer before you go to bed. But day and night upon the heart of this psalmist was a burden so grievous, and a sorrow so deep, and a trouble so bad that it consumed his mind. And so day and night he is in an attitude or a meditation in prayer towards God. It was prolonged. Look at verse number 9. We read it just a moment ago. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. So the psalmist cried and he called upon the Lord daily concerning his affliction. I am thankful that I have not been in that kind of sorrow and that kind of sadness and that kind of burden many times in my life. But the few times that I have, I can tell you this, there's no sleep or very little sleep to be had. There is no appetite or very little appetite had. It is a time of seemingly every situation and every circumstance that arises. It's just another reminder of the thing that has afflicted you so greatly. And so your heart and your mind is in a continual state of prayer day and night concerning those situations. In fact, his affliction would not let him rest, so he used those restless nights as an opportunity to pray and seek the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 18, and I mention this verse often concerning prayer. It says in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I read this psalm, and as I read the psalm, you saw the same thing that I did, and the same affliction and the same sorrow that I saw, but not one time. Now listen carefully, I'm trying to help you. Because you say, preacher, I don't know nothing about this. It's coming. You may be in it now. You may have already been in it before. Sometime or another, you will be in it again, because that's just the way life is. Regardless of how rough the situation is, one thing the psalmist did not do, he did not faint. He was as near despair and distress The psalm even uses the word destruction and darkness. And yet we don't see any evidence that he quit or that he gave up. People are giving up now over a runny nose and a stumped toe. This guy hung in there when things were rough. We need some... I remember when I was younger, I used to hear this. People don't even understand this no more. Hanging there like a hair in a biscuit. That'll help you remember. When you think about quitting, and you say, you know what, it'll just be easier to give up. It'll just be easier to go, Mom. I promise you, you have no idea what trouble and sorrow is until you quit on the Lord. It could very well be the reason the psalmist is in the shape that he's in is maybe he got to the place in his life where the Lord was no longer important. Maybe the Lord was no longer number one in his life. Maybe we know that he was a singer and he was in the choral, the singers that David appointed over the temple, the tabernacle. Maybe he got to the place, well, nobody wants to hear my song anymore. Or maybe there was problems at home and trouble at home. And he said, you know what, we'll just get out of church and we'll just get away from the Lord and we'll just get away from the things of God and everything will just fall into place. I want to tell you right now, you don't know sorrow and you don't know darkness and you don't know trouble until you start thinking that way and get sideways with God.
Well, praise the Lord, I didn't see any of that in my notes. I'll tell you, his prayer was passionate, it was personal, it was prolonged. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. In other words, pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. Pray when you have little faith. Pray when you have lots of faith. Just pray, amen. God will help you. Now, I want you to notice verse 2 again. He said, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. It's very obvious that the psalmist desires to have an audience with the Lord. I believe from some of the other verses in the psalm, I don't read anywhere in the psalm where he doubts the Lord or seems to imply that he doubts the Lord. In fact, I do read some verses in the psalm where it seems that he has confidence in the Lord hearing him. And it seems that he has confidence in the Lord answering his prayer. Even though he seems to be almost to the point of giving up, there is still some confidence in his voice. Look at this. I'll show you why. Look what he says. Now, you think about it. Now, I want to ask you something before I read the verse. I want you to think again about his situation. He is at the point of death, he said, his own words, from his youth up. I don't know how old a man he is, but this is not a new affliction. I don't know how old this guy is, but this is not a recent occurrence. This is something he's been dealing with for a long time. He talks about the terror of the Lord. He talks about being in a pit. I think about Joseph being in that pit, having to be rescued by the Lord. And he talks about being in that pit. He talks about being in a place of darkness. I think if we could interview this man today, he would tell us that he was at the depth of despair. I think if he would be honest with us, he would say, preacher, God is my salvation, but I was in the darkest and the deepest depression that I've ever been in my life. It seemed that all hope was gone and everything was lost. And though God is my salvation and I can pray, everything else is gone. But that ain't what he said in verse number 11. You know what he does in verse number 11? He speaks of God's loving kindness and his faithfulness. I want to read the verse. You got to see it for yourself. Look what he says. Look at verse number 11. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Now we'll talk later about the connotation in which he used these two questions that he's asking the Lord. But he is nonetheless recognizing that the God who has him in this shape is a God who loves him with kindness. You know what that tells me? That even though he knows it's the hand of the Lord that has him in this condition, listen carefully, he's not bitter. He's broken.
and he's at the point of death. But he said, I want to tell you something about the God of my salvation. In spite of my condition, in spite of my circumstance, in spite of my situation, I'm going to tell you one thing, one attribute of my God is that He loves me and He loves being kind. Kind. You know what that is? That is a heart that recognizes He deserves more than He's getting. It is the loving kindness and the faithfulness of God that is keeping the psalmist from even a worse situation. It is the loving kindness and the faithfulness of God that has not put him in even deeper despair and greater destruction and worse terror and worse wrath and worse pain. Oh, He's a great God, amen. He's the God of my salvation. I hope it never gets so bad for you that you blame God for your situation. Because in spite of everything, He is a God that is loving, kind, and faithful. Now look at verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. So we see the pain and the affliction. His eyes mourneth. So it's very obvious. You don't have to be a great scholar to recognize the fact that he's weeping. His eyes mourneth. He's weeping. And notice what else he's doing. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. He has called daily upon the Lord. The desperate condition and near despair of the psalmist is extremely evident. He has poured out his heart unto God. His eyes are showing evidence of his weeping. And he has his hands stretched up to the Lord. Here's the image I get. I get the image of a little toddler. And the little toddler has had some kind of major crises in his life. We know it's not a huge thing. But to that toddler, it is a major crisis. And with tears streaming down his face, he looks up to that parent or that guardian with tears streaming down his face and his hands outstretched. Will you take me? Will you hold me? Will you pick me up? I can see the psalmist in his pit. I can see the psalmist in his darkness. I can see the psalmist in his sorrow. And his eyes are revealing the condition of his soul. And he's reaching up his hands unto the Lord. He says, oh, will you please take me? Will you please reach down and pick me up out of this pit? Oh, God, I need your help. I'm relying on your faithfulness. I'm relying on your loving kindness. I don't know about you, but when those little children come to me in that condition, I pick them up. I believe the Lord will pick him up, don't you? Now look at verse 13, and we'll stop here for this morning. But unto Thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent Thee. Now, I made mention earlier about this word prevent. It means to go before. Can I just tell you that where there's life, there's hope? He's in a bad place. He's in a horrible situation. But the psalmist is not only consistent in prayer, he is also persistent in prayer. And I don't think he's as near death as he thinks he is. Because I've seen, unfortunately, I have been around way far too many people who are at the point of death. And oftentimes there's, certainly in the day that we live in, it's not always been the case. There's not any coherency. There's not a lot of thought oftentimes and not a lot of at least verbally communication. But this psalmist, he recognizes that God is his salvation. He recognizes that God is loving kind and faithful. He recognizes the need to pray daily, morning and night, and to continually put those prayers up before God. What a blessing, amen. He fully expects. Now listen. I want to read the verse again, and I got another comment. I'm about done. But unto thee have I cried. Now look, we've read and read about he's near death, but he expects to live till the morning. Did you see that? But unto thee have I cried. Oh Lord, I've already cried. And guess what, Lord? In the morning. In the morning, Lord, I'm going to cry again. I want my prayer to come up before you. You can hope in the Lord. He truly is the God of my salvation. And though there are times when I get to the point of despair, I fully expect to live till the morning. And if I do, listen, trying to help you, I hope you'll be faithful to put your prayer before the Lord. Amen. Now, I believe, I'm reading my notes, I've already said it. I believe all of us expect to be alive in the morning. And I sure hope we all are. But what are your plans for the morning? What are your plans for the morning? I know we got things we got to do. We got activities we have to do. We got work. We got chores. We got all these things. I want to encourage you. Start your day in prayer with the Lord. But you're not so busy that you can't take 5 minutes to get on your knees and seek the Lord the first thing in the morning. Amen. Get the piano player to come. I'll stop right there for now. Prayer of the Psalmist. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a few moments. Piano player comes. Maybe you would like to come this morning.